James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. James 1:5, Luke 24:45. And Jesus opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Luke 24:45. And Jesus opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Luke 24:45. Psalm 94:19. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 94:19. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 94:19. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3. You see this verse in the back of your bulletin from the German translation. Notice, if you will, the first verse we studied this morning in Ephesians 1:2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then this verse now, Ephesians 1:3 from the German translation, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful today for another wonderful opportunity to study your word. We're here because of your grace, and we thank you for salvation grace, experiential grace, dying grace. Thank you for all of the blessings that you give us. Be with us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1:3, worthy of praise and glorification. I would ask you, if you will, please, to put that title somewhere, worthy of praise and glorification. Most of you are aware of the fact that we've seen this diagram many, many times over the past years. This is an emphasis upon God's sphere of power designed for every born-again believer. You and I have the wonderful opportunity to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have an emphasis here upon the fact that we can live inside of this system when we're cleansed of sin and filled with the Spirit. There are many aspects of this divine power sphere, which we call the love system, the divine dynasphere. We call it the love system. All of this we've emphasized time and time again. We've emphasized the fact of the filling of the Holy Spirit, basic impersonal love, having a relaxed mental attitude, having humility. Sometimes it has to be enforced. Organizational, genuine humility. Many times we've emphasized point four, which is where we are again today, and that is perception and application of the wonderful Word of God. Now, if you will, please, let's look at our verse for this morning. Starts off, blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one having blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. What we've decided to do is to emphasize today this subject, worthy of praise and glorification. What we have beginning with verse 3, going down through verse 14, is the longest sentence of connected discourse in any language. This is the longest sentence. If you'll notice, not in the various translations that you have, but in the original text, You will not find a period until you get to the end of verse 14. So all the way from verse 3, all through these verses, down to verse 14, you have the longest sentence of connected discourse in any language. It's important that you remember that because of the power of the passage of Scripture. You don't see this in little parts. You have to see it in its entirety. And what we have to do, though, in order to see it in its entirety, is take it by increments. And so that's what we're doing now. The very first word that you find in the text today is eulogetos. I try to make it easy for you because you can see it from where you're sitting. I've taken these words in the Greek and I've transliterated them, which simply means that I've taken the Greek letters, put them over in English so that you can see what is being presented. So you have here the word E-U-L-O-G-E-T-O-S. Eulogetos. Eulogetos. What we have here is that this is one of the most unique words in relationship to God's plan for the individual born-again believer. You would have to admit with me that Jesus Christ is God's VIP. And what is VIP? Very important person. You can see that what we're having emphasized here is that God has designed His plan in such a way that you and I, as born-again believers, reach the point so that we can be classified as God's VIPs. So if I don't say anything else today that you can remember, be sure that you remember what is being emphasized here. God has put you and me on the earth. He has a reason and a purpose and a plan and a design for us being here. He doesn't want us to waste time. He doesn't want us to fool around. He wants us to grow and advance and love Him supremely and be for Him a VIP. So we have an emphasis then in one word in the Greek that's translated three words in the English, worthy of praise. This is a verbal adjective and it describes deity only. This is a verbal adjective and describes deity only. Luke 1:68 presents the word as a participle, and it means to praise. But here we have the word, and we need to dissect it. We need to look at it. It's made up of EU, which is the word for good, or straight, or well. Anytime you find in the Greek those two letters, EU, it emphasizes good, straight, well. And then you have the word logetos. When you get to the verb, it is the Greek verb lego, L-E-G-O, which means to speak. So putting those together, you have to speak of total benefits without anything left out. In other words, what God wants us to see, that deity, seeing deity in its entirety, deity 1, 2, and 3, there's nothing left out. Everything that deity has provided for us is everything that you and I would ever need to be a successful, advancing believer. Going from born again, a little baby believer, all the way to the top mountain peak of what we call the echo zone. The mountain peak of the echo zone. The reason why we call it echo zone, E-C-H-O, is because echo is the Greek word which means to have and to hold. So we're going from a baby believer, which there's nothing wrong with being a baby believer, but there is something wrong if we stay a baby believer. There's nothing wrong with being an adolescent or a youth believer, but there's something wrong if a person remains as an adolescent or a youth. In other words, God wants each one of us to move through the stages of spiritual advance so that we can travel down the highway of God's magnificent grace, the grace highway. So the word means to speak of total benefits without anything left out. God has not left us out on anything that we need. A person cannot have love, appreciation, or capacity to know God, apart from a diligent study of the Bible. That's it in a nutshell. In other words, you and I are not going to be what we ought to be unless we have a mind change. And a mind change means that we're continually getting into our innermost being God's thinking. So, we have words here. We have, first of all, the God. Note the article is identified. Then we have Father. And notice, no article. So we have identification on the one hand. We have the qualitative aspects on the other hand. So when you find an article preceding a noun, it's for the purpose of identifying that noun. But when you don't find an article in front of a noun, it's for the purpose of seeing how great the qualitative aspects of that noun. So God is the invisible and unknowable apart from the Word of Christ. Have you ever seen God? No. Don't tell me you have, because I'm going to have to send you to see the doctor. But anyway, I want you to know you have not seen God. I have not seen God. I have not touched God with my physical hands. I have not felt His hands. I've not been able to see Him with my physical eyes, and neither have you. What I'm saying here, God is the invisible and unknowable apart from the Word of Christ. If you and I do not study God's Word diligently, daily, we're going to live and die without being able to really understand who God is, what God's like, and anything about even the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have then the God, Father, of the Lord of us. And this is a noun in the genitive case. A genitive case is a case of relationship. Jesus Christ left heaven's glory, became the God-man. Christ, the word Christ means the appointed one. So this emphasizes God's plan, Jesus Christ, the only VIP, and He wants us to move up the mountain peak of the echo zone. The article with the word God is used to identify the persons and characteristics of the members of the Godhead. I'll not repeat these because I've said them time and time again, but you can see them on the screen. You see that God has all the characteristics. We see that Jesus Christ has all the characteristics. The Holy Spirit has all the characteristics. So the members of the Godhead are co-equal and co-existent, which simply means that everything you can say about Deity 1, the characteristics, attributes, essence, can be said of Deity 2 and can be said of Deity 3. The only way to be enthusiastic about God the Father is to know the Word, Jesus Christ, and be on the high road of grace. I got into this study, and I want you to know that I have notes like you wouldn't believe, that I want to come here and just share them. I need about 5 hours to do this, but I cannot do it all in 45 minutes. But I want you to know that I've looked and I've seen how fantastic these words are, every single word in these verses. And you'll notice how great this particular verse is. Let's go back and look at it just for a moment. I won't have time to talk about it all, but I want you to see. The first word that we've mentioned, eulogetos, blessed God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at this, if you will, please. The one having blessed us, if you look up at this word, you will see it's E-U-L-O-G-E-T-O. If you look at this word, you'll see it's E-U-L-O-G-E-S-A-S. There's a connection there. Same word. So I want you to see that it's translated, blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one having blessed us with every spiritual, pneumatikos, every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Now, I don't have the time to go through all of this, but I want you to see that this word here, blessed, and this word here, blessed, is telling us something. It is telling us that this word presents the fact that we're blessed God is enthusiastic about you and me being blessed. He desires that we move to the mountain peak of the Echo Mountain to become what He wants us to be as a very important person to Him. Now, I want you to see, and if I don't say anything else, I want you to see this, that the blessings that are designed for us were designed for us before you and I were born. Please understand that the blessings that He's provided for us and designed for us came long before you and I ever came on the scene. So you have to understand that the blessings that He's designed for us has absolutely nothing to do with your ability or my ability to do anything related to those blessings. You've got to see that. So, there are three great words used here. There's a verbal adjective, which is E-U-L-O-G-E-T-O-S. And then there's a verb. And it's E-U-L-O-G-E-O. You can see when you study this that these are the same words as far as the Greek language is concerned, but they're used in different ways. And then you have E-U-L-O-G-I-A. Three words. You can look, you don't have to be a Greek student to see this. You can see that this word relates to this word. This word relates to this word. Now, what I've discovered is that I don't only study the word. I try to find information that will be helpful for me to explain this. And so, a manual grammar of the Greek New Testament by Danny and Manny on page 197, learned this many years ago, tells me, I already knew it anyway, it tells me that it is a, you're going to get so excited about this, this is a gnomic aorist. Now, I can see you almost jumping out of your seat there. Okay, let me explain. A gnomic aorist. Up here is a verbal adjective, eulogetos. The next way the word is used here, it's an aorist, active, passive, aorist, active, participle, gnomic aorist of E-U-L-O-G-E-O. We'll stop there for a moment. What does that mean? In the original language, what does that mean? What is a gnomic aorist? We've learned in the past, I've said it many times, aorist tense emphasized at a point of time in history. But what about this gnomic thing? It's a generally accepted fact or truth. It may be regarded as so fixed in its certainty or axiomatic in its character that it is described by this aorist tense just as though it were an actual occurrence. Absolute fact. This says then that the blessings come from God before election comes, before you and I were born. Blessings come before the choosing. Many times we've studied in the past the subject of predestination, foreordination, election, and so forth. People get all confused about that subject. This scripture is saying He's blessed us in the eternal ages past. The gnomic aorist says all those blessings were designed before anyone ever came on the scene. Since the participle is in the gnomic aorist, it means that God blessed long before we were born. This is an occurrence then, not related to time. It's related to ages past. I've thought about this. Joyce and I have talked about this. We've had loved ones to pass away. And one of these days, the rapture will occur, and we will be the recipient of resurrection bodies, and they will receive resurrection bodies, and we'll be with our loved ones. And we thought about our loved ones who passed away, our friends who passed away. When you've been in the ministry as long as I have, we've said goodbye to a lot of people over these years. Friends, loved ones. We just attended a memorial service of one of our preacher friends that we've known through the years, traveled with them through the years. What we understand is that when the rapture occurs, those individuals who have passed away and have been with the Lord for 5 years or 10 years or 1 year or 20 years or 30 years, as far as they're concerned, it'll be as if it was just the same day, time-wise. Are you following what I'm saying? We're talking about ages past. This is an occurrence not related to time. Number two, all benefits are because of God's grace and not earned or deserved nor gained by our efforts in time. Amen. While we're here on the earth, what we have to see is God wants us to be what He wants us to be, but the benefits are all because of God's grace, and they're not earned or deserved or gained by our efforts in time. If provided totally before our birth, then it is certain that we can have no part in the provision of these blessings. People can be a blessing to us now, but only God can be a blessing in eternity past. His person is before our provision. Our provision is before our person. Now, you want to write that down? Oh, preacher, you get so confusing at times. No, not really, if you just look at it. His person is before our provision. Our provision is before our person. Number four, God's plan is always compatible with the benefits of His plan. God's plan is always compatible with the benefits of His plan. Number five, God's plan is a superior plan, since God is absolutely perfect. There's nothing lacking with God. Have we been able to see that? We're hearing it, but are we able to see it? There are no areas that are not provided for, whether it be disaster, death, sorrow, suffering, pain, Harvey, whatever. God's plan is a superior plan, since He's absolutely perfect. His plan would not be perfect if any part of it depended upon us. Number seven, God's grace and God's grace blessings preexisted all believers. The blessings were provided before the need arose. That's so big that we'll miss it if we're not careful. You can say in your mind, go on to the next point, preacher, but you didn't get that one. And so I have to stop because I see myself often not getting it. I mean, I can study it and I can read it and I can learn it. And then I say, did you really get that? Did you really understand what you're studying? Do you understand what God is saying? The blessings were provided before the need arose. So that means that if some disaster comes to you, it didn't take God by surprise, though it took us by surprise. You follow? When a loved one passes away, it takes us by surprise. Do you think it takes God by surprise? Of course not. So He made the provision long before the thing ever took place. So if the provision was made before the occurrence, then we have to stop in the middle of the occurrence and say, God, this doesn't come to you as a surprise. You knew how to take care of it. And now we want to know how to properly take care of it in the light of the fact that you've already taken care of it. Now, some of you got that. In fact, maybe 100% of you got that. If you did, that's fine. The blessings were provided before the need arose. Problems solved before the problems existed. You can go home and think about this today because it would be good for you to think about it. Because you can think back of problems that you've had in the past. And the question is, how did you handle it? How did I handle it? Did I punch panic buttons? Did I fall apart? Did I fall into pieces? Was I all beside myself? Or did I come to the conclusion, Father, this didn't come to you as a surprise, did it? And he says, no, it didn't come to me. No, I'm talking about, we're looking at this in reality. It didn't come to him as a surprise. He knew about it in the eternal ages past. He made the provision for that situation before it ever occurred. This means then that human merit and human efforts are all ruled out, since God's provision came before we even existed. Two more points. Oh, you knew I would want to come back to this. The nomic aorist. The nomic aorist participle of eulogeo, with the definite article preceding, reveals that God provides benefits, blessings, based on His character and not ours. God designed the blessings based upon His character, not ours. Last point. These great blessings become a reality. How? Through knowledge of His magnificent Word. We're not going to have an awareness. We're not going to know what it's all about if we're indifferent to the communication of the Word of God. I appreciate this congregation because you know what I know? By and large, I would think 99.99% of the people who sit in this auditorium really desire to know the Word of God. May we pray together, please. Father, thank You for people who love the Word and desire to know what all You have to say for us. We have been able to see so many beautiful, magnificent, glorious truths. So many things that change us if we'll only understand and begin to understand and then utilize the things we're beginning to understand. And as we leave this service today, we don't want to leave without saying to the person out there who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, that if they'll do that right now, they can be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We've quoted that verse over and over and over again. It is so magnificent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Thank You for these magnificent truths. In Jesus' name, amen.